This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your loci cerealis by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Lou Fien and Jeremy Heisenberger? Are you there, gentlemen?
Yo.
Oh, yeah, I'm here, Andy.
And you're feeling it.
Oh, yes.
You know, tonight I'm going to be playing the role of Michael Dean, and here's my impersonation.
Michael, is that you?
Uncanny.
Have you had a colonoscopy lately? Hey, did you guys know that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license?
You know, I'd heard
yes.
that somewhere.
Yes,
and so was my colonoscopy.
And that allows reuse by anyone except governments. And learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. And so here we are again. I haven't been on the show with you guys for weeks, I think. And so much fun to be back. So welcome to me. Welcome to
yes,
you.
It's
welcome.
Been a long time, Randy. It's been quite a long time.
It's been too much. I haven't been pulling my share of the load. And so I contacted Michael the other night. Wait a minute. Does that follow? I'll think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, because you got everybody working, but you know the socialists aren't doing their fair share, and that's part of the reason why they have starvation.
Well, I like to be social. I mean, that's not bad, is it? I don't know. But socialist. You know, are there any ists that are good? I guess there are.
Anarchist.
Voluntarist.
Yeah, most of them seem to be okay.
Other kinds of ists, you know, isms. Yeah, those two. I guess you could have good or bad. So, usually though, people tend to maybe put a negative spin on ists and isms and things like that. I don't know.
But anyway, welcome back. That's the important part. You're here now.
That's right. Move along. Move along.
Move along. Nothing to see here, folks.
Nothing to hear here.
Nothing to is. Hey, so are you going to be going to Fiend Fest Somalia this year, Randy?
Fiend Fest. Now, is that an alternative event to the Peace and Liberty Fest?
It's
in New Hampshire.
It's out in New Hampshire.
I'm not going to get to New Hampshire this year. I was there last year. It was really exciting. I'd never been there before. I'd like to go again, but I won't make it this year. But I am planning on coming to the Midwest Liberty Fest in Michigan at the beautiful Circle Pines Center, where you can decide whether you want to, you know, sleep out in the open or sleep in the orchard or halfway in between. It's
oh, it's the glorious. Demilitarized zone.
That's right. I think I'm going to make it up there this year again. There's something that I really enjoy about going to that I didn't even. It's Porkfest has its own excitement. You know what I mean? But there's so many things going on that you almost wish that there were less things going on. I suppose you're free to go anywhere, but I enjoy the fact that it's not quite as full at the Midwest Fest, and so you tend to take the time to go around, sit down, and talk with everybody there. And that's really fun.
Yeah, it is.
And at you can't possibly do it at Porkfest. When I left, I ended up kicking myself, you know, over and over every time I heard who was there and why didn't I go over to see them. Well, I walked everywhere I could find, but I still missed a bunch of people I would have loved to talk to. And that won't happen at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest because the number is just right.
Yep. Matter of fact, at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, and you can get your tickets at mplfest.org. I'm pretty sure that the early bird special is still going on. And like, what was it? I paid with Bitcoin for me and Lisa, and it was $42.50 each. Oh, and since Bitcoin has skyrocketed, your Bitcoin goes farther than it did before. But anyway.
I haven't bought mine yet, so now I can get my money. Will go even further, won't it?
Yes. Go to mplfest.org, and they got a T-shirt that's included with that for the early bird signers.
Okay, and what's the date for that? Again,
that is
the end of August, right?
Yeah, it's 26th or 29th, I think. But yeah, all the details will be on the website. Go to mplfest.org.
That's good.
And, you know, I really like just hanging around the assault kitchen, having the conversation with the people that come by and hang out.
Yeah, I'm really bummed I can't make that one. Seems like everybody's going to be able to make that one except me. I'd rather go there than, well, Fiendfest. We're going to make Fiendfest fun, but I'd actually rather go there than Fiendfest. But unfortunately, it's not a good time for me.
Can't you find somebody to take over your business for you? Like find an illegal immigrant to take your job for a week?
I'm not opposed to handing my job over to illegal, but no, unfortunately, that's also right around my kid's birthday too. So it's like the worst. August is always the busiest time of year for me. So unfortunately,
that's why you bring the kids with you.
Well, again, I have no problem with that. I don't get to make all those decisions anymore though. So,
Randy, do kids love this event?
It seems like there's always a bunch of kids there.
Yeah, but do they like it, or are they like held prisoner or something like that?
I never took my kids. My kids aren't little anymore, so if they did go, it wouldn't be my responsibility whether they had a good time or not, right?
Okay, take my word for it. Kids enjoy it.
Okay, there we go. Kids enjoy it.
You got a lake, you got a beach, you got woods and trails, and you got just everything that kids could want.
Well, there is all that stuff. And I was a kid once, and really, really enjoyed
long,
that stuff.
Long, long, long time ago.
Many years ago, in the 60s, you know?
I think that's back before lakes and woods were invented.
No, back then, that's all there were.
Oh, that's right.
It was before concrete was invented.
Was it before the roads, Randy?
Yeah. When Randy was a kid, there was no government, and they just had to, like, go through the woods and go in between the trees wherever there was space, and then all of a sudden the Foundling Fathers got together and created the government, and shortly thereafter roads followed, and people went through the forest and trimmed down the overgrowth so that people actually could walk in between the trees. And so thank you for being a part of building that government there, Randy.
I appreciate that, you know, and we you know, my generation, we were responsible for ending human sacrifice and instituting the draft. So,
you know, I was thinking, I really don't like the word draftee or conscript. Don't you think it'd be a lot more constitutional sounding if they were referred to as persons held to service or labor?
I don't know if that would make you feel much different if you were being shot at, so, you know.
Well, I don't really care about their feels. It's our feels that are important.
Persons held to labor.
Held to That's service or labor.
Oh, service. Well, I don't like any of those.
But those are actually in the Constitution.
You know, I think it was it Chief Justice Sotomayor, was that the one that recently is expressing her support now that attorneys across the nation should be enslaved to give free legal work?
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, she gave.
What in the happy Halloween are you talking about?
Recently, but in the last week or so, she expressed some opinion to someone somewhere. I don't know if it was at a talk or to a reporter, but that she thought that attorneys everywhere, nobody disagrees. Well, hey, you should help people that need help. You know, okay. I mean, nobody disagrees with that. I help people out too, and don't charge them for it. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to be drafted to help anybody. You know, forget it.
Well, yeah, that's insane.
Let me read to you the relevant part from the Constitution. No person held to service or labor in one state, and that's what I was talking about, persons held to service or labor, under the laws thereof, escaping into another, shall, in consequence of any law or regulation therein, be discharged from such service or labor, but shall be delivered up on claim of the party to whom such service or labor may be due.
Well, then you would never get out of the Army. If they treated you like isn't that a slavery clause?
Yes, well, it is the fugitive slave clause of the Constitution.
they got rid of that.
Well, it does fit with the military, you know, because
it went away with the 13th Amendment, which I believe still allows slavery in some, you know, like state-sponsored slavery.
Well, if you're in prison, then you can be enslaved. If the Army wants you, you can be enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they have any other.
That's what I was talking about, because it still follows too. Because you know, you try to go AWOL, they'll try to come after you, and it doesn't matter where you escape to. Technically, they'll supposedly look for you. I don't know if that's just true anymore. I've met a number of people over the past couple of years that have just walked away and haven't ever had a problem.
I did some research on my great-great-grandfather who fought for the North in the Civil War. And he apparently would go, he would leave his unit and go back home in the planting and the harvesting season. And he would be charged with desertion. And then when he got the crop in, he came back. And then they changed it to an AWOL and put him back in the line. And then he would leave again, be charged with desertion, get the crops in, come back, charge him with AWOL for his record. And that happened several times to him.
But he was never actually punished?
No, he never was.
Wow.
I'm thinking that a lot of people probably did. I wish someone would do a study as to the size of the actual Army during planting and harvesting in the Civil War. I'm curious about it.
All the earlier wars.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends. Oh, yeah. Now, since we were talking about the magic parchment in the last segment, I figured that it would probably be a nice idea to mention the Equal Protection Clause. And it says that basically that everybody has to be treated the same under the law. Nobody gets any special treatment. Nobody gets any worse treatment. And, you know, all animals on the farm are equal. But as Radley Balco pointed out in the Washington Post, and this article's a little bit old. It's from, I believe it's 2015. Let me check this out. Yeah, it's from April 24th of 2015. All animals on the farm are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And it turns out to be the pigs that are just a little bit more equal.
Well, isn't that always the way that it goes?
Pretty much, yeah. So what we're going to talk about tonight is the Police Officer's Bill of Rights. And like I said, this article comes from Radley Balco, who's been just amazing on writing about the police state. And Lisa was pointing this out the other day. there's a lot of this stuff actually showing up in the Washington Post. And it's not just like the Democrat anti-cop type stuff, you know, which you don't have to be a Democrat to be anti-cop. I mean, you know, I'm not a Democrat, I'm anti-cop, but they're really pointing out a lot of the tyranny in there. But anyway, over at Cato, Walter Olson has a summary of an ongoing issue that has had some resonance in the police killing of Baltimore resident Freddie Gray, the law enforcement officer Bill of Rights that many states have passed, giving cops extra protections when they're investigated for abuse of force. Maryland was the first state to pass a law enforcement Bill of Rights in 1972, and by now many states have followed. Hey, why do they get a special Bill of Rights? I mean, what about that equal protection? Oh, that's right, pigs. invariably, after lobbying from police unions and associations, oh, those darn public sector workers in their darn unions. I bet the Republicans really actually hate this. Often, the bills are sponsored by Republicans who seem to forget their normal skepticism of public employees as an interest group when uniformed services are involved. I guess they're not too PO'd about it. Anyway, prison and jail guards are often covered by these laws as well, and scandals of corrections administration. The state-run Baltimore jail had a huge one in which the Maryland Law Enforcement Bill of Rights was implicated, are often hard to investigate because of the law's barriers. Union contracts often add further layers of insulation from discipline. Hey, you know what? Maybe the Freedom Fiends could start up a union and we could, like, get things in our union contract that prevent the police from hassling us. How's that sound? Yeah, we can't be investigated. And
that would be great. You know, when as I was reading this article, I was thinking not so much how bad this was, but if you look at the provisions of it, it says the officer, after if he's going to be investigated for something, officer gets a cooling off period before he has to respond to questions. And the officer under investigation is privy to the names of his complainants and their testimony against him before he's ever questioned. Has to be interrogated at a reasonable hour of the day with a union member present. He can only be questioned by one person during his interrogation and can only be interrogated for reasonable periods with plenty of time out for potty breaks and meals. And he cannot be threatened with anything, a disciplinary action or punishment during the questioning. And as I'm reading these things, it's not that these things are outrageous, that the cop gets the benefit. What seemed outrageous is that these seemed reasonable to me and why I don't get them.
Well, yeah, exactly. This is crazy because it's not just a matter of them getting, you know, some special rights. It's the exact opposite of what would happen to you or I.
Well, no, they're asking to be treated as a human being and with some dignity. But the point is they want it just for themselves. And if we're talking about cops here. And, of course, they'd have a fit if they had to comply with humane questioning things that were not too likely to bring up falsehoods and things like that. Mm-hmm. I have seen cases where the police obviously got false confessions out of people. You can do it, particularly if the person that you're dealing with is of low intelligence. I mean, you get some guy that's practically not much more than a child, and you make him sit long enough, have to eat, go to the bathroom or something bad enough, he'll say anything just to get to eat or go to the bathroom or end it.
And we'll be right back after this trip to the market. You'll have a reasonable time for the break.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
This is the Freedom Feeds with Randy England and Jeremy and Lou, and we're back from the marketplace. And before we left, I think Lou was trying to get a word in edgewise on the subject that he introduced, which was the police officer's Bill of Rights. And when you last spoke, Lou, I was starting to smell bacon, so... What are we missing here?
Yeah, something else that goes along with this. Yeah, I'm not sure that you mentioned that you got it in there, but under nearly every law enforcement bill of rights, the following additional privileges are granted to officers. So once again, shiny badges grant extra rights. Their departments cannot publicly acknowledge that the officer is under investigation. If the officer is cleared of wrongdoing, or the charges are dropped, the department may not publicly acknowledge that the investigation ever took place or reveal the nature of the complaint. So, in our words, when the fox clears himself of any wrongdoing in the hen house, they can't talk about it.
Wow.
The officer cannot be questioned or investigated by non-government agents, which means no civilian review boards. If the officer is suspended as a result of the investigation, he must continue to receive full pay and benefits until his case is resolved. Hey, if I get put on suspension, I really don't think my employer is going to keep paying me and covering all my health benefits and all that other stuff. Yeah, I just really don't see that happening. But anyway... In most states, the charging department must subsidize the accused officer's legal defense.
Wow, that is... Man.
A violation of the above rights can result in dismissal. Not of the officer, but of the charges against him.
Oh, I thought maybe it was going to say dismissal of the person who accused him or something.
Yeah,
probably
charging of them for making a false report. That is a crime, you know.
Well, if somebody makes a complaint against the top revenue earner for the city, I'm sure there's probably some mayor or city councilman that's going to be like, "Hey, that's my moneymaker there. How dare you?"
That would be the meter maid, wouldn't it?
Something like that. Well, no, traffic cops.
Yeah.
If they're in a good forfeiture state, yes, yes.
Why? And you figure with the traffic stops usually running anywhere between $100 and $150 a stop.
It's $180 currently. Or no, actually, I think it's now up to $210 with the extra fee they put on it here in New York for a CPR.
They don't work that hard. Okay, they're not. Even if they did get $150 for a stop, there's a lot of work involved in pulling somebody over, risking your life, and then writing the ticket.
Well, I don't know how it goes down by where you are, Randy, but up here, they're lazy for most of the month, and then when quota time comes in, they only have to be busy for like 4 or 5 days. And they rack up all the tickets they need in the course of that time. They do it every month.
But what you have to understand, Randy, is the price-to-earnings ratio of the time spent writing a ticket versus going out and solving real crime. Because you don't get any revenue off of arresting rapists.
No, you don't. You don't get any revenue from that. Because rapists are never ordered to pay restitution.
Yes,
but if you make a turn on red and there's nobody there except for a cop, you will have to pay restitution to the government for hurting his feelings by blatantly disregarding it being a scofflaw.
Yeah, actually,
how dare you put no one in danger, Lou?
In traffic matters, you can actually have to pay restitution. It isn't just a joke. Yeah, I don't know how many other states are that, but in the state of Missouri, if they arrest you for DWI and take you in and t- tell you to blow into the machine to see what your blood alcohol level is. The police get to bill you through the court, so the court can force you to pay. They get to bill you for their time in arresting you and making them test you and all of those things. And I'm not saying that as a terrible, terrible thing, because in one sense, I kind of favor the idea of having actual criminals fund the justice system. But there's so many crimes now. If you got it down to no victimless crimes and just people that actually hurt other people, I'd be fine with having the criminals fund the system. But if the system
was funded strictly by criminals, then either it would actually be a justice system instead of a legal system, or much more likely, everything would be a crime.
Well, we're close to that right now.
There's got to be one or two things that aren't illegal yet.
The problem is that everything that isn't illegal is mandatory. So you can't escape it either way.
Yeah, that's a good point. They got you coming and going.
So, something else in this article here, Radley Belko adds, I'll add one thing. Many times these bills have strict procedures for how officers are to be investigated. Not following the procedures isn't a huge deal for the officers who violate them, but it does get the cop being investigated off the hook. The Bill of Rights can essentially become a how-to guide for cops to get their colleague out of trouble. And he wrote about an example that happened a few years ago down in Louisiana. Essentially, the investigators botched the investigation, and the cop was reinstated, and they had to pay him like a year and a half's worth of back pay, and he got a nice little settlement from the city out of it, $400,000. So the tax cattle got milked to pay this worthless tax eating parasite, and then they had to pay for the misconduct of the agency for botching the investigation and wrongfully terminating him.
Now, the tax-eating parasite, that was not the victim. That was not the person arrested, right?
Well, the person arrested was a cop. So they were investigating a cop.
I meant the person that he beat the hell out of, supposedly.
No, I don't think that was a tax-eating parasite. Well, but what I'm saying is the residents had to pay the back pay of the cop. So that's the tax-eating parasite that I'm talking about. They had to pay the back pay for the cop that was investigated and terminated, as well as a $400,000 payout to him for wrongful termination.
Okay, but this is the one where the person arrested was giving the guy some trouble and was arguing with him, so he walked over, turned off the video camera. He was off for a little bit. Then when he turned it back on, the person was laying on the floor in a pool of their own blood.
Yeah, I don't think that person got the... Oh, yeah, he did.
No, yeah, she got...
That person only got $400,000?
Yeah, she got the... Well, that's the thing. They paid her $400,000 for getting her butt whooped by the cop. But... He got
good work. You can get it.
He also got the full back pay and benefits for the year and a half that he was gone. So everybody
won.
Yeah, well,
I misread that.
Yeah, everybody
except
for except for everybody else who had to pay for it. And unfortunately, she most likely is a taxpaying member of her community. He is not, because just like the surge protector plugged into itself, a police officer doesn't actually pay taxes because his money was stolen in the first place.
Yeah, government pays him taxes.
Yes, exactly. That's an excellent way to put it, Lou.
They do pay him taxes, that's right.
Yeah.
Of course, she was paid taxes on her $400,000 settlement. Everybody's paid taxes. I don't know what to say.
The cop's like, I don't pay taxes. Government pays me taxes. Her taxes
like
pay me. That should be a meme.
Yeah, I had the same thought, Lou.
Oh, crap, there's one I was supposed to make this afternoon that I forgot about. Darn it. So, you guys will have to carry the next couple segments.
Yeah, we can stop the show while you go take care of your
community. Yes, as has been said plenty of times before, we are pretty much like Facebook on the radio. So, why not? Go ahead, take some time, make a meme.
Don't report me. Don't block me.
You're gonna catch yourself in a 3-day ban, Lou.
Which one of us? Which one of us is the troll?
Which one isn't? Yeah. So I mean, it's just like I said earlier. It's literally everything in their Bill of Rights is the exact opposite of what the average person currently receives, as far as rights go in that regard. It's despicable. I mean, again, you know, as you pointed out, everybody should have these. I mean, even if we're going to be forced to be in this type of system that we're, you know, stuck under right now, everybody should get that treatment. But no, just for them, just, you know, not do as I say, not as I do in every aspect. Government's just bad. We should just go away.
Yeah, it would be nice. But at least it lets you know that it's a government for the people, by the people, and of the people, and nobody is above the law, nobody is below the law. And,
yeah.
Oh, wait, that's just that crap that they tell you in the government schools, you know, to kind of try and trick you. So, yep, bow down to your parasitic costumed overlords with their shiny badges, because, you know, they're the most equal pigs on this farm.
Well, now, do remember that the way that they got these rights was due to the state legislatures bending over and giving it to them.
Well, you know how those Republicans love their public sector unions and everything.
I didn't know that they were supposed to love that.
But yeah,
I guess they do.
Don't you always hear about how Republicans support the pension benefits of public sector employees and how they believe that public sector employees are so dependable and everything?
So they hate unions unless you're wearing a uniform.
Yes.
Yep.
A lot of union workers wear uniforms, but you just have to be the enforcement and violence wing of the state apparatus.
You have to have a badge.
Shiny badge.
Or a government-issued assault rifle to be in the military.
Funny costume. Yeah. Funny costume, yep. Shiny badge.
And public hero. Republicans
love you. Yep. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Well, I guess we're back.
I think we are.
Yes.
Jeremy?
Yes. Yes, we are.
We're all back.
Yeah, I guess we are. So anyway, we're going to close out this first hour with a little bit of sad news. We're going to make a sad here. I'm sure just about everybody's heard about the gorilla that was killed at the zoo because somebody's kid was running loose and just... you know, whatever. And apparently everybody on the internet knows how to run a zoo better than the zoo people do, and everybody's ready to assign blame. But there's a side note to this, and this comes from AboveAverage.com. The headline is Disaster: Harambe the Gorilla Mauled by Cecil the Lion in Animal Heaven.
Oh.
Jeez, God must really have it out for that gorilla. Just days after being shot dead by Cincinnati zookeepers when a child entered his enclosure, Harambe the gorilla had been mauled to death all over again by fellow shooting victim Cecil the Lion, almost immediately arriving in Animal Heaven. Yeah, wouldn't that be something? Like, let's say you're just like a regular Joe in Chicago or something like that, and you got shot in a drive-by. Or police brutality, which could sometimes be the same thing. And As soon as you get to heaven, somebody else from Chicago kills you.
Are you sure you're in heaven, though, is what I would be asking.
Well, who knows? But anyway, the sad news comes courtesy of my cousin LaVon, whose heart stopped for 3 minutes after being electrocuted and was accidentally sent to animal heaven instead of human heaven, but was sent back to Earth when the koala bear version of St. Peter realized the error. LaVon saw the whole thing go down. Straight up, when I got there, I was like, oh, damn! St. Peter is a koala bear. And the koala bear was all like, you shouldn't be here because you're a human. But hold up while I let Harambe the gorilla in. So Harambe walks like 5 feet past the gate, and that mother Feinstein and the lion mauls his ass. Like, instantly, I was like, damn! But then I got sucked to human heaven, and then my heart started beating again, and I came back to life. there's a picture of a koala bear in like a robe in front of these glowing gates. Oh,
was he holding keys in his hand?
No, he's just sitting there with that plain koala bear look on his face. So,
oh man.
Well, there's no telling if Harambe died all over again in animal heaven. LaVon adds that he's happy that he didn't stick around to find out. I'm glad I didn't end up stuck in animal heaven. In my heaven, there are definitely no lions. This is a very good point, or this very good point then raises the question that maybe Harambe and Cecil, my cousin LaVon, were not in animal heaven, but rather in animal hell for failing to accept Jesus Christ, who is an emperor penguin, as their personal savior.
Wow.
That's the end of the article.
That poor gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole situation was messed up.
Yeah, well, it was. You know, I mean, I'm sure that the person who shot the thing, you know, thought that the kid was in danger.
Well, but yeah, that was, I mean, that was the justification for it, that they, you know, they, because the argument was, oh, you should use the tranquilizer. Well, those tranquilizers take, you know, up to two or more minutes to actually kick in. And at least from the stories that I've read and what I've seen about it is that, you know, he was literally dragging the kid around the place after, like, at first he was, you know, kind of being nice to him. And then once everybody started screaming, he just started picking up and dragging the child all throughout the enclosure.
Yeah, the kid's head was underwater for a good deal of the time. It was pretty horrible.
Yeah, so, you know, I love animals and stuff, but, you know, what are you going to do in that situation, unfortunately? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think the parent is at fault for the entire situation, but it just, you know, in that instance, what are you going to do? You're going to shoot it with a tranquilizer and hope that it kicks in time before something, you know, happens really, really, really bad to the kid?
Well,
I don't think a tranquilizer would have helped that parent.
I think you can trust
you're talking about the gorilla. My bad.
I think you can trust the state to find somebody to blame. Just give them a little more time and somebody's going down for this. Besides Harambe, I mean.
Oh, well, no. You know what will happen? There'll be a new regulation where...
You're saying we're all going down for this.
Somehow, someway, you know it's going to happen, right?
I'm glad you mentioned it. I couldn't bring the thought up, but you're absolutely right. We're paying.
I don't know what the problem is, but the solution has to be more government.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LivePair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are back. We are the Freedom Fiends. I'm Jeremy. I'm here with Randy and Lou. How you guys doing?
Yo. Just great, Jeremy.
All right. And during the break, we were talking about this article that you found, Randy, about the, which I had mentioned, I kind of remember this case, but it's very interesting, about the, I guess it was a cop who got caught with, allegedly, with not so nice things on his hard drive.
Well, that's the kind of the problem. He hasn't actually been caught with it.
Well, yeah, that's why I said allegedly.
No, I mean, even the government would say that we haven't caught him with it on his hard drive, and but we aim to. And that's what the case. This case is. It's been in the news, you know, over the last month maybe. And the thing that's, you know, kind of shocking about it is there's this guy that the police ended up. There was some kind of investigation. He was a Philadelphia police sergeant, and I think he's been relieved of duty. But I don't know, who knows, paid. I don't know, paid vacation or not. But. Definitely not working now as a police sergeant.
And did they follow the law enforcement officer's Bill of Rights?
I was just going to ask that.
You know, that's a good question. And the what I've read on the thing, I did not see anything about that in there. But he was, I don't know, it's the suspicion is child pornography. So I'm not sure if the blue line closes in around a guy that's charged with that.
Well, you would hope not.
They kind of maybe run from that and say, I don't want to be anywhere near it. But he was using some net. Do you guys know what Freenet is?
I had never heard of it before.
Well, I'm not sure what Freenet is either, but the government has alleged that Freenet is some network that people use to hide their identity. And he was using it, I guess, in the Philadelphia area. And they were investigating people that were using this service and ran into him. And apparently, based on the information they got from monitoring his internet traffic, they had a search warrant to search his home, and they took his phone, and they took his computer, and they took a couple of external hard drives with the computer, and he also had a sister that had been living with him, and she had said that she had seen child pornography on his computer at some earlier point. And between those things, they got the computer, but everything was encrypted. The phone was encrypted, the computer, the hard drives. They couldn't touch anything. So they brought him in, and he agreed to open up the phone, and through three layers of passwords. I'm not making this guy isn't sounding, you know, like a real nice fellow or anything sympathetic, but through three layers of passwords, he puts in the passwords, gives them what's on the phone, and basically there's nothing on the phone that, I take that back. There was something on the phone that incriminated him. There was apparently some, a couple pictures that he'd taken of a couple of his nieces that were 4 years old and 6 years old of their underskirt area, but with underwear on, I think. But it showed, let's just say creepy, okay? And between that and what the sister said, they tried to get him to open the computer up, and one way or another, they got onto the computer. No pornography. Didn't find anything on that. But they found tracks that he had been visiting some sites that they thought that he had downloaded some, and, you know, the tracks that you leave behind, and some child porn chat rooms. I don't know. Do they still have those? I guess they do somewhere. And so they wanted to get him to get into the external drives, and he said, I don't remember what the passwords were. and he wouldn't open them up or couldn't open them up. But and then they got a court order ordering him to do it, and he couldn't, wouldn't, and that's and they threw him in jail to stay there until he decides to open those up. And it was a little, the thing that caught some attention was that they used this. You remember them talking about the All Writs Act in that Apple case recently?
Yes, I do remember that.
Federal statute going back to the 1790s or something.
Yeah, I think it was 1789, like right, yeah. Literally before the ink was even dry on the Constitution, something.
You know, which basically says a judge can order you to do anything he wants to help him get what he wants, and you have to do it. And if you don't, he can hold you in contempt, which means he can put you in prison till hell freezes over. Or the sun burns out. I forget what the wording is exactly in there. But as long as it's a live issue, they can hold you.
In order
which
to
means
be
he can be held for... Go ahead.
In order to be constitutional, doesn't there have to be a foreign invasion or domestic rebellion for the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus to be suspended?
Yeah, but they would say if he brought a writ of habeas corpus, all they were saying was you're going to have to explain to the judge why this guy's being held. And as soon as they explained that it was because he disobeyed a court order to unencrypt this hard drive.
They to incriminate himself?
No, they never say those words. They say he was ordered to provide an unencrypted hard drive, and he refused to do it, and therefore he's in jail. And I don't know if you guys remember back during in the 90s when Clinton was in office, and there was some woman, I forget, some friend of the Clintons, who wouldn't give up information about them and their financial dealings. Remember they called it the Whitewater?
Whitewater
thing. And she sat, her name was Susan somebody, and she sat in jail. It must have had to have been more than a year or something. But when the thing finally ended, she was released, and she was in there for a long time. But when you're talking about a criminal matter, in this case a child pornography investigation, I think the logic would be that case is alive until the statute of limitations runs out. And in most places, misdemeanors have a 1-year statute of limitations. Most felonies have a 3-year statute of limitations. But in almost every place I know of, sex-related cases, particularly involving children, have statute of limitations that run for decades.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's how long he can be held in prison waiting for this.
But what about his rights under the Fifth Amendment to not self-incriminate?
Well,
does he have to provide the incriminating evidence against him? Well, I'm not saying that he's guilty, but
no, and I, as far as I'm concerned, I mean the guy may be guilty. I wouldn't say for a moment that he's obviously not guilty, but I think the government must bear their burden, and it doesn't matter whether he's guilty or not. When it comes to the government punishing this person, then they're going to have to prove that he did this beyond a reasonable doubt. And the thing that's so funny about it is the government is trying to use this legal doctrine. There's this kind of gap that you can run through to avoid the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination. And that is, if the government already knows what's on the hard drive, if they already know what is on the hard drive, if it's a foregone conclusion, is the word they use, that there's child pornography on this drive, and they already know it, and they just don't want to get their hands on it, then if they already know it for sure, then you can make him give it up. Well, they're claiming that they already know it for sure, but they don't know it at all.
How do they know it?
Well, yeah, they downloaded it. They're pretty almost certain that he downloaded this stuff, and they knew that he was a creepy guy doing this creepy stuff, you know, with pictures of his niece's underwear and that sort of thing. But they haven't the slightest idea whether he downloaded this stuff and then deleted it, or if it was on the computer, or if he put it over to the hard drives. I think they might have had some tracks on the computer that he could have put some on a hard drive, but it was a year before or something. So they don't know if it's there or not. They have no idea if it's there. They just suspect that it's there. And they're trying to say, well, the fact that we know for an absolute fact that it's there means he should have to give it up. And the judge bought it. And I'm thinking, you know, we have a standard to convict somebody of a crime is beyond, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Everybody's heard that, right?
Sure.
Well, when someone says it's a foregone conclusion that there's child pornography on that drive, that almost sounds like more solid than beyond a reasonable doubt, doesn't it? I mean, that's a foregone conclusion seems to me like practically absolute certainty.
Well, yeah.
It does. It sounds like that. And they're claiming that they're, you know, absolutely certain that he's got it on there. I'm thinking, well, if you're absolutely certain, why are you being such wusses? Why don't you just charge him with the crime and see what a jury does with it? Of course, they're going to slap you in the face with it is what they're going to do. And the feds know that. You know, the thing that's really odd about it is that the prosecutors apparently started out, I think they were state prosecutors, who tried to get a judge to order him to open this hard drive in a state court, and the state judge said, nope, that's against the rule against self-incrimination, and he refused to order him to do that or hold him in contempt. So they took it, and then they went to the feds.
So I was right.
And they found a federal judge. And another thing is really, really hinky about this thing is that normally what you would expect is that you would want this drive to be evidence to show to a grand jury, because that's how they charge people. And you would think that there would be a grand jury subpoena issued ordering him to provide this unencrypted hard drive. But they didn't do that. They went to this All Writs Act, I don't know, because it didn't seem like he was violating the Fifth Amendment or something, and they went that way. I mean, it's really controversial, and in a sense,
maybe,
though, I don't...
Maybe he was a whistleblower, and they were trying to find out what he had on them.
Ooh.
Just a possibility. I'm not making any accusations.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Freedom Fiends. This is Randy England, and I've got Lou and Jeremy with me. We're back from the market, and we were talking about a fellow he was a police officer in Philadelphia who he's not been charged with any crime, but he has been ordered by a federal judge to open up a couple of hard drives, which police believe or suspect contain child pornography. And, they can't prove what's on there, but the judge has ordered that he will open them up. I don't think they characterized it as he will incriminate himself. They like to say that if you're just opening up the hard drive, all you're doing is, well, that's not incriminating yourself. It's hard to imagine that it's not. But what they usually do in the criminal justice system is that if they want you to testify to something that could get you into trouble, this is the Fifth Amendment, right, Lou? Which says, you got it handy there, your Constitution, Lou? You no one can be forced to be a witness against themselves in court in a criminal case, and that's the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. So a person can't be brought in and forced to testify against themselves in a criminal case. There is a way around it, and the court can you can be granted immunity. The prosecutor can give a grant of immunity or have the judge grant you immunity that says, okay, you have to come in and you have to tell the truth on whatever we're going to ask you about, and you have to answer the questions, but you can't be charged with a crime from what you tell us. And they have long had a situation where they definitely can force you to do that and will lock you up for as long as they want if you won't do it. But on the other hand, you're liable to cooperate if you know you can't be charged with a crime. And this guy, they offered him immunity and pretended like it was something protective. You see, two things. If a guy, you tell somebody, you need to open up this hard drive for me so I can get into it, even if it tells two things. First of all, the fact that you had the password and could get into the hard drive shows that you were in control of the contents of the hard drive, that it was your hard drive. And so merely opening the thing up is evidence against you. But of course, then if they find evidence of another crime inside after they get there, then they've got you again. Well, this guy in Philadelphia, they gave him immunity and said, okay, you go ahead and open it up, and we won't use the fact that you were able to open the drive up against you in court. And they granted him this immunity. Of course, they'd taken the thing from his house, and he'd already agreed that it was his hard drive. And so that immunity, but it's just a joke. It's just a complete joke, because that doesn't give him any protection that's worth anything at all. So it's kind of a case I'm kind of interested in and following. I mean, I've got my laptop, and I keep it encrypted things on it, and I'm concerned about that. I have things that are completely confidential and not evidence of crimes. Well, it could be evidence of crimes, because I'm an attorney. My client information is on there, and it's nobody's business, and nobody can see it but me. And so I keep things buttoned up pretty tight. So I'm concerned about having to yield up information that's on a hard drive. I don't think they have the right to make anybody do anything, really, but to get into your private stuff, and then you could be charged with a crime. It's kind of bad. They already, you know, there's other ways you can get into, like a phone or a tablet or laptop. The thing with the fingerprint, that one, they can force you to do that anytime they want. They don't,
really?
You know, if you refuse to do it, they don't even have to have a hearing. You can just send an order up to the judge and say, please order this guy to give a fingerprint on the phone, and open the phone up, and bang, you got to do it. Because they don't consider a fingerprint to be testimonial. They figure use of a finger is no different than looking at your face. And there's a certain logic to that. It's a lot different than making you tell them information that's in your mind. I'm not sure. Do you guys do anything, if you travel and you have a laptop or phone, do you use some kind of security? I remember one time when I was going to cross the border and go out of the country, I had a tablet with me. And my solution to the problem of not wanting to have anything on there that they would get that was confidential was to not have anything on there that was confidential. And yeah. I just put everything I might need in the cloud, and the thing was blank. And that was kind of a safe solution, but maybe somebody would tell me differently.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important, because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Freedom Fiends, and we're back from the market, and I'm Randy England. I'm here with Jeremy and Lou. Hey, guys. And in the break, Lou has brought to our attention an article that's, I don't know, interesting, ironic, I'm not sure, but the title of the article was "Conservatives Used to Criticize the Hiroshima Bombing Far Worse Than Obama Did."
Yes, and this is from Rare.us, and it's written by Jack Hunter, and he's one of these many statist Republican conservatarian types. So I usually don't agree with many of his conclusions, but I have to give credit where credit is due, and I really enjoyed this article here. President Obama was roundly slammed by conservatives last week for acknowledging the victims of the U.S. bombing of Hiroshima, Japan, that helped end World War II. By acknowledging the victims, apparently Obama showed the weakness of America, and it was like bowing before a Saudi king or some crap like that, because conservatives hate Obama more than they hate tyranny. But anyway, so, yeah.
Now, Obama didn't blame anybody and didn't really come down and say someone was right and someone was wrong, right?
He didn't even apologize either.
Yeah, he didn't apologize. He didn't assign any blame. He just, well, a lot of people died. Basically, that's it. And it's really, what it really does is it shows the pettiness of the politically minded right. Because all they're doing is they're looking for gotcha moments. Now, to be completely fair, that the politically minded left is the same way when there's a Republican in there.
Oh, absolutely.
So, both sides are just as hypocritical as the other. So, this is by no way any type of defense of those scumbags. But anyway, so. Yeah, these attacks from the right actually tell us more about today's conservatism than they do the president. After the Hiroshima bombing, Russell Kirk wrote to a friend in 1945, quote, "We are the barbarians within our own empire," end quote. Richard Weaver wrote the same year, quote, "The atomic bomb was a final blow to the code of humanity," end quote. Because, genocide is mass death like that. Is that part of the code of humanity? Is that something that's supposed to be natural to just extinguish 100,000 lives in seconds?
Well, gosh, I would hope not. But apparently, for some of these people, it is.
But the point here was that these two guys, Russell Kirk. She was Mr. Conservative of the entire 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, both Kirk and Weaver.
Yeah, and I mean, there were more famous names of people, but as far as being the venerable conservative figures, but you're right. Both of them were, considered intellectual. Is that the right word? Thinkers, I think the article was talking about. And still, even people, most conservatives of the right, let's say 98% of them have not read The Conservative Mind. They still, will use the name, kind of like the way, people use Ronald Reagan's name or something
like that. Or people invoke the Constitution when they've never read that either.
Yeah, and that's a little shorter read. The Conservative Mind is enormous.
Yeah, it is. I've never actually. I don't think I actually finished it. I got through a good chunk of it, but I never actually finished it. But it's funny. It's true though that you say that, because I actually got into a little argument today on Facebook with somebody who insisted I did not know what the word conservative meant. In an unrelated meme, it had to do with Israel and the foreign aid they receive, but. That was the argument, that I didn't understand conservatism.
Fiend phone.
I didn't know these things, and I didn't know what they stood for. And I started to talk about Russell Kirk, and she was just totally dumbfounded. She had no idea who he was, and I'm like, okay.
Get the nair. There's furries.
Oh no. That was it's interesting, and that it just kind of I see that from a lot of them.
This is the phone unnecessary random reeducation interruption exigency service or furries. I'm Michael Dean. Hi guys.
Hello.
Hey, Michael.
Hi.
What do you got for us?
I connected and then I couldn't hear anything for a minute. You guys heard me connect before I got on, right?
Yes.
Sure.
It's because a cat has been walking on my mixer and apparently pressed a button. That's been a while.
Didn't you put up the cat-free zone signs?
I have the
by the mixer,
the Catmaster 300, the thing that covers the buttons. Yes. But
those I don't put work it up with yet. Anarchists.
It doesn't. Anarch cats. Yeah.
Anarch cats. Yes.
So what's up? What's new? Hey, Randy.
Well, we were just exploring paleo conservatives. If that was
the paleo diet, the right yeah, let's word. Talk about that. Sure.
Well, now they're throwing the paleo diet down.
I know, I'm not doing that. What I'm doing, you know what I'm doing that's helpful? This is kind of interesting. I was reading this book. Oh, Lou, I hear you breathing. Stop breathing. I'm reading this book by the author of Dropping Acid, which is a diet book about removing acid from your diet.
There's not as exciting as I thought.
I know. It's the worst misnamed book ever. She also wrote The Chronic Cough Enigma, which is basically about people that have like GERD-driven asthma. You know, like you like the stomach acid reflux. Something called silent reflux, which is like. It's kind of like acid reflux, but you don't get indigestion. It just sends acid into your lungs and you cough. And that's one of my many problems. So one of the things she recommends is drinking alkaline water. Now, that's not like putting lye in your water. It's not burning yourself.
But it's like putting baking soda in your water, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. But it's not baking soda. You can buy these water filters that actually add a little bit of carbonate of something that alkalizes the water. And I also bought a
100 times more expensive than baking soda, probably.
Yeah, it tastes better than baking soda, though.
A little what, baking soda.
Do you put baking soda in your water?
I put a little baking soda when I make tea.
Huh.
It doesn't take as much sweetener or sugar.
Stop yawning. You can't yawn. That's bad radio.
Nobody's going to admit to yawning here. You can't.
I know.
You can't make anyone.
Well, it's not you, and it's not me. You know? It's either Lou. Well,
I know it's not me.
Or Jeremy Hangnail. Jeremy Heisen N-word.
Heisen N-word. Yeah, that's still my favorite one.
Yeah, we can't say it on the radio, but that's what someone of that persuasion, you know. But and I'm a black man. Yes. I can say that. So. I'm 164th black, but no, man, I'm going to actually link this in the, you know, I don't usually shill products, especially health related ones, but I've been using this thing for like a week. It was pretty cheap. It was like $30 and it does actually alkalinize the water. I bought a pH meter, which I'll also link, which is kind of fun because I've been testing everything, an electronic pH meter. But this thing, actually, I've been using it like a week, and I have cut down a lot on the massive coughing attacks that I used to wake up to every day. So,
well, amazing. That would be the test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like to give this as a, it's not really related to liberty, but it's, you know, it's hard to worry about liberty when you can't breathe. So, you know, in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I think breathing comes before, you know, understanding Murray Rothbard. So,
well, yeah, that would yeah.
Stop breathing, Michael.
Russell Kirk.
Start breathing. Who's Russell Kirk? So, you know, I like to help people, so I'm going to link this stuff in the show notes. Who's Russell Kirk?
Russell Kirk is Mr. Conservative.
Mr. Conservative, yeah. The context of this is that Lou was talking about how he was one of the leading conservative voices in the last century and a critic of the Hiroshima bombing.
Oh, nice.
Conservatives didn't used to approve of the real more civilian murdering.
Real conservatives oppose massive ongoing war from a financial standpoint, if nothing else. But, you know, interestingly, Randy, as an ex-prosecutor, did you know that there's only one actor ever in the history of Hollywood who was a former prosecutor? Did I say prosecutor or actor? As a former prosecutor, you might be interested in this. Do you know who the only one was on TV? The only former prosecutor on TV.
Who was an actor? I don't know. No.
Fred Thompson, who played a prosecutor.
I did hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a Republican senator. He was actually on that show while he was a senator. There was a short overlap.
Oh, was he? I liked his work as an actor.
I thought he was a congressman. He was a senator or whatever.
No, he was a senator. As a senator, he was just a statist. What can I say?
Yeah. Although he was one of those, like, you know, doesn't think the federal government should have any say in marriage, thought it should be up to the states to ban it, like Ron Paul. And he had some interesting theories for a conservative about the war on drugs. He, you know, basically thought it existed for all the wrong reasons, which a good real conservative should believe that, I think.
Credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
Well, conservative in the days of the old right actually meant wanted a small government, wanted non-intervention at home and abroad. And today, conservative is basically just like a liberal, but with minor differences. The differences are just minor nuances.
Yeah, and Fred Thompson's character has the same politics as Fred Thompson, and he's one of two characters who are Republicans in that show. Everyone else is a far left liberal. All the other attorneys, and
who was the other Republican?
The lady with long black hair, who was one of the assistant DAs.
Oh, Angie Harmon.
Yeah, yeah, the one that. Yep. Man, how do you know all these actors' names, Lou?
I just, like, pull information out of my Schumer.
You have your brain plugged into Wikipedia?
Who's the Rain Man of Law and Order?
That's her.
Yeah, she's a cutie pie.
Yep, but her character's from Texas, so she had to be a Republican.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other Chrome robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Rare.us about how teaching people how conservatives aren't really conservatives.
Well, the conservatives have evolved to be warmongering liberals.
Yeah. And it's a shame too, because I mean, like we were talking about earlier in the last segment, Kirk, you know, Russell Kirk is somebody who most of them probably never read.
Weaver.
Although, you know, or Richard Weaver and Kirk especially. I mean, I remember his name being tossed around a lot when I first started my journey.
How about Howard Buffett, Warren Buffett's father, and what was his name? Robert Taft, I think it was.
Taft, yes.
Yeah, they're I believe they're both senators.
Yes, Robert Taft.
Part of the old right.
Taft would have been the politician who was at the center of the conservatives at that time, back before World War II.
For well over half a century, Weaver's landmark 1948 book, Ideas Have Consequences, has been an indispensable part of the conservative canon. President Reagan quoted from Ideas Have Consequences in a speech at the Heritage Foundation. Weaver wrote in the foreword that his book was a reaction to that war, World War II, to its immense destructiveness, to the strain it placed upon ethical principles, and to the tensions it left in place of the peace and order that were professedly sought. In 1959, a decade and a half after the use of the atom bomb, National Review editorialized, the indefensibility of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima is becoming a part of the national conservative creed. So America's premier conservative journal was essentially saying that a boring U.S. use of the atom bomb was conservatism proper.
Yeah.
Now, what you get is all these clowns saying that it's, you know, that it was necessary and that was a good thing, and saying things, well, you know, if they didn't want to get bombed, they should have moved to Somalia or some crap like that. And then also these idiots, it's nothing short of being idiots, where they start talking about how millions and millions of lives were saved from this. You know, Breitbart had up a meme saying that it saved a million soldiers' lives. Okay, well, during the entire course of World War II, 1.1 million Americans were killed or wounded in the entire war. So, for the entire war, 1.1 million people killed and wounded. The death toll, to include Okinawa, for as bloody as that was, and the rest of the Pacific, the entire death toll for World War II was around 440,000 people. So, how in the Happy Halloween did this save 1 million lives or 2 million lives or 6 billion lives, whatever these people are throwing out there to justify? Because those numbers are really just made up out of thin air. There's absolutely nothing to it.
Well, yeah, that number in particular, from what I remember reading about this, and I went to go look for it earlier, and I ran out of time, and I can't remember the guy's name, but it was one of... It was some bureaucrat. I'm pretty sure it was a politician. I'm almost positive it was a bureaucrat who floated that number out there and later had to recant what he said, like a couple of years later, as usually happens with all these scenarios. The government gets to go through with what they wanted to do in the first place. And then, a couple of years later, when there's nothing much that could be done about it except possibly punish the patsy, it is... we screwed up there. But
it's been out there long enough that people are going to keep repeating it.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Something else that these Nimrods don't care to float out there is Japan was trying to surrender. All right, the Japanese government was attempting to surrender, and they had made a couple of offers, and they were actually more concerned about a Soviet invasion of the mainland than they were of the U.S. or anything else, because there's a lot of bad blood from the Japan-Russo War. But the U.S. government, Truman, wanted unconditional surrender. The Japanese wanted to keep their emperor in place because he was a spiritual leader there. So the U.S. said, no, it'll be unconditional surrender or else. And they didn't accept it, and boom, they dropped the bomb. And then to be the Richards that they were, they left the emperor in place afterwards.
Yep.
So, conservatives, learn a little bit of history and quit being Trotskyite communists. Because that's what they are.
Didn't even Eisenhower come out and say that it was completely unnecessary and warranted?
Numerous military people came out.
Exactly. So, right. But no, we're the crazy ones.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com. Randy, if you're here, say goodbye.